I believe that following a memorial program, it is most appropriate, in fact, to learn Nefesh HaChayim, as if we're talking about the Hemshech of the Neshama. Nefesh HaChayim is the principles that the Chaim Volozhin promotes, Avada Navada. That is really the essence of the Neshama. And that is the true meaning of the Neshama being alive. It is brought down that a particular Talmud Chochom, when he was in his younger age, and he was considered to be a frequent visitor by the Chazon Ish, he says that he recalls that on a particular Mitzvah Yom Kippur, he says, after he already took a bite to eat, the end of the Tainus, he figured this is a good time maybe to have a few minutes alone with the Chazon Ish. It's after Yom Kippur, it's not busy, nobody's there, everybody's at home eating, but probably he's alone, and Itaka was alone, so maybe I can have a few minutes with the Chazon Ish, which is not such a usual opportunity. Motzi Yom Kippur. He comes into the house of Yom Kippur, and he makes casual talk, and he says, how did you fast? How did the Rebbe fast? And how did the day go by? And so on and so forth. And the Chazon Ish says to him, he says, sit down for a moment, he says, and let me tell you something. And he says that Reb Chaim Volozhin was the miyasid of the Yeshivas Volozhin. He said, after him who succeeded him was his son, Rabitzel. Says, Rabitzel of Volozhin became the Rosh Yeshiva. Interesting thing is that when Rabitzel's daughter became a Kala, it turns out that Rabitzel chose a Chosen of the Volozhin Yeshiva, but the one who is not in particular considered to be the top Bocher in Yeshiva. He was not considered to be the greatest mind in terms of Baal Kishrin, in terms of sharpness, or in terms of lomdus. He's a very choshev bocher, but one would not consider him to really be the top bocher in the yeshiva. And as a result, members of the family came to him with tainus and said, listen, you have to realize, even if you had a particular liking that you did pick this bocher to be your son-in-law, but you have to realize you have an achrayus, because you are the successor to your father, so who's going to succeed you? It'll have to be your son-in-law. So if you pick a son-in-law, it has to be someone who is going to be worthy to step in to fill these shoes to become the future Rosh Yeshiva Volozhin. So how is it that you took a son-in-law which is not considered to be one of the top-ranking Bokharim, was not really fit for this tremendous destiny to be the Mamshich of the Yeshiva Volozhin? Rivitzela heard the complaints, he heard the tainus, but he did not answer them, but he waited for the right opportunity to give them an answer. And so, in fact, the right opportunity came, and this is the Chazon Ish telling the story to the person that's visitor on Motzei Yom Kippur, and he says to him, the answer that Rivitzela was looking for came, in fact, on the Motzei Yom Kippur. It was on a Motzei Yom Kippur when the members of the Kehillah were going by and wishing a good yontif, a good year, Motzei Yom Kippur. Everybody's rushing home to take a bite to eat, and so on and so forth. Finally, members of the family of Rabitzel also came by to wish him a good year. Rabitzel says to them, he says, wait, don't leave. Don't leave just now. Stay around a little while. And finally, when everything was empty, the room emptied, the Beis Medrash emptied, so Rabitzel speaks to his relatives, those who had all the complaints against the son-in-law, and he says to them, he says, follow me. So they leave the Beis Medrash, and they go through a long hallway until they meet up to a side room. And the side room, the door was closed. And so Rabitzel very slowly opens up the door. And they're able to see that Rabitzel's son-in-law is sitting and learning. Motzei Yom Kippur sitting and learning. And Rabitzel takes the opportunity, actually, to go in. And he goes up to the son-in-law and he says to him, don't you think that it's Motzei Yom Kippur, the first thing you should do is take a bite to eat, have a bite to eat? And the son-in-law answers and he says, you know something? He says, I already grabbed a bite to eat. He says, I'm already past that, he says. He's already sitting and learning. So it's an interesting thing, Rabbi Yisrael says. Look here, he says, most people have not hardly even left the Beis Medrash yet. They're still on the way home. Who knows how long it's going to take them until they're going to sit down and have this bite to eat. He already made sure to take the first opportunity. He grabbed whatever he had in order to be able to sit and learn. He pointed out and says, listen, he says, the growth and the godliness of a person is not so much in the way the world defines greatness. Greatness is really someone who's totally devoted and totally committed And that person, in fact, will turn out to be a true Adam Godel. And in fact, that was the Nitziv. That was the Nitziv of Elohim. So be a maiden, you know, at an early age, who's also the Gdolus? Who's going to turn out to be a Godel? We look at this one, we look at that one, and we try to formulate in our minds, this one is going to be an Adam Godel, this is not going to be an Adam Godel. It takes more to be able to be a real, real maiden to know who has true Godel, who has greatness within him. Interesting, really, is to point out that it was said by, many, many years ago at a Torah Masorah convention dinner. So it was mentioned there that Robert was Kidua was a big Baal Menag. Robert was a big Baal Menag. He's the thing of Zemiris. Big Baal Menag. And he once said, he said that my Rebbe Reb Chaim, he says, was not a Baal Menag. Chaim Brisker. He was not a Baal Menag. Reb Chaim was not a Baal Menag, he said to Robert, but he was a maven on the knee. The name of the name. So, a particular person, Mechanech, at the Torah Masorah Convention pointed out, he says, not everybody might be a Rebbe who qualifies to be a Rebbe for Talmidim, but you have to be a maven on a jewel when you see one. You have to be a maven. That's when you have diamonds. Someone who's not a maven, you know, does not know the difference between one stone to another. Same thing is, you can have all types of Talmidim, all types of children. You have to be a maven on a child. You have to be a maven. Who has in it, you have to be able to look a little deeper, to be able to discern, and to be able to be memashmish, to recognize greatness, and so on, the madregas of each and every one. And that was something that Rabbi Zal had. And he chose, of course, to turn out to be the Nitziv. So you see later in retrospect, he did not make a mistake at all. But we're going to start, Rabbi Zai, here, in the Nefesh HaChaim, which is Perek Tezayin. I want to make just a shtickle hakdomah. In many, many circles, actually, when they come to Perek Tezayin, basically it is skipped. It is skipped starting from Perek Tezayin all the way till Perek Chof Aleph, usually. And the reason is because starting from Perek Tezayin, the prokim, the chapters are filled with Kabbalah and very, very deep, and it's very difficult to understand. And one has to be a real expert in Kabbalah, so in most circles, you don't learn it. However, between the lines, so to speak, between the lines, there are pockets here that we can relate to, and therefore, I feel that we should take advantage, and we may skip here and there a little bit as we go along, but yet there are areas which we have tremendous information that is being imparted. As a matter of fact, many years ago, Montessori Solomon Lakewood gave a vad on Nefesh HaChaim, and I understand that Perek Tezayin is skipped back at the Perek Chof Aleph. But as we'll see, that there are, even in Perek Tezayin, there are quite a number of lines here which are very, very important lines, and it would be a pity, really, to skip it. So starting here in the regular editions that the Yoilam has over here, the Nefesh HaChaim, it's Perek Tezayin begins at Tandaf Nun Dalet, and Tandaf Nun Dalet, and we'll do like the first few lines, then skip the rest till Daf Nun Hei Omar Aleph. So just to give you an idea, we'll see why we're begin skipping. So we'll do three lines, then you'll see why we have to skip further. All right. So the first three lines, basically, what he's going to talk about here is about the sparks of the neshama. Nefesh HaChaim here in Perek Tezayin talks about the sparks of the neshama. Let's just review a little bit. Nefesh HaChaim, of course, told us that we have the three levels. We have the three levels of the soul, which is the nefesh, and we have the ruach, and we have the neshama. The lowest level, which is called nefesh, that is the life force of any human being, not only a human being, but even the animal world. Any creature that has a life, the Adam Hu HaNefesh, what gives the life force of any living being, that's the Nefesh. So Nefesh is basically the lowest level. So Maiseh, action, deeds, is something which comes from which energy? Comes from the energy of Nefesh. Energy of Nefesh supplies the Koyach of Maiseh. Ruach, which is the higher level of Neshama, which is a higher level of Nefesh, it's a higher spirit, which a person contains, that's Keneged Dibur. That gives the person the power of Dibur. Therefore, the animals don't have Ruach, they only have Nefesh, because, as we know, they don't have really the Koyach of Dibur, they don't have the power of speech, certainly not the way we know it. And Ruach is something which is related to speech, and the Reb Chaim, even in a practical way, pointed out that when a person speaks, you have air, breath coming out of his mouth. Just another way just to indicate or to remember that there's a connection, that speech, Dibur, comes from the level of Ruach. And then comes the highest level, which is Neshama. And Neshama, let's remember again, which is, Kedai always repeat and remember, when we talk about the highest level of Neshama, Neshama is from the root of Neshima, breathing. But as Reb Chaim said, what's incredible is not talking about the human breath. It's the breath of Hashem that comes out of Hashem's mouth. Hashem, as it were, blew. He blew into the body of first man of Adam Rishon. That neshama is actually HaKadosh Baruch Hu's breath, which is contained within a human being, but was lost. Because Adam Rishon, by the first sin, by the first chet, as a result, his spirituality, his level became drastically reduced. So his body is not capable of containing within it neshama, which is the neshima, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's breath. So what do we have regarding neshama? What's our relation to neshama? Our relation to neshama is we have the sparks of neshama hovering over our heads. And we are able to draw from those sparks tremendous, tremendous spiritual energies from the upper world. So that is our relationship to neshama. We do not in our bodies contain, as he pointed out, that Moshe Rabbeinu was also an exception, after the chait of Adam Rishon, although everybody else lost neshama within his body. The neshama is not contained. We only are able to enjoy the sparks of the neshama. Moshe Rabbeinu was different. That's what's called Ish Elokim. It's called Ish Elokim because he has a chelik of Elokim mamish in him. He has a chelik of Elokim, he has a chelik of the neshama mamish actually within him, which is in contrast to everybody else, until Mashiach will come. We all are able to enjoy neshama being on such a high level, being so sublime, we're only able to enjoy, which is the sparks of the neshama. How many sparks? How much are we able to enjoy from the radiance of those sparks? It all depends on our actions. The more Torah they will learn, the more that we are connected to Torah, the more that our lives are connected to Kedusha, the more we become connected to more sparks and closer connected to the level of neshama. Okay, so that was the basic Yisoid foundation that the Chaim Volozhin has formulated. So we have nefesh, the lower level, then we have ruach, then we have neshama. The neshama, again, is not contained within our bodies because it's too high, too spiritually charged. But rather, we only enjoy, which is the sparks of neshama. What Reb Chaim says in these next three lines or so, let me just say it, and then we'll take a look inside, and somehow we'll be able to make some sense out of the words. Reb Chaim is trying to say that corresponding to the three levels of the soul, which is nefesh, ruach, and neshama, in man, there are also matching levels in the higher world. In other words, in the higher world, there are also three levels. There's a level, so to speak, called nefesh. There's a level, so to speak, called ruach in the upper world. And there's a level called neshama. And the same way that after the chait of man, we do not have within our bodies neshama. We only have the neshama hovering over ourselves. And we enjoy only the sparks of neshama. So too, after the sin, remember we say man impacts on all the upper worlds. So after the chait of Adam Rishon, the upper worlds also, the world which is corresponds to the level of neshama is not contained within the lower world, but the lower worlds only enjoy the sparks. The lower worlds enjoy only sparks from that world which is called neshama. Let's take a look at these words of Reb Chaim here in Nefesh HaChaim, the beginning of Perek Tezayin. And it says as follows. The Hamaskilim Yovinu. There's people really who understand the Maskilim, Seichel, people who understand, will Shekenu Ho'inyin Gam Bishrosho Ho'elyin. Sheken meaning the same three levels. The same three levels within man. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. The same three levels we have in Bishrosho Ho'elyin in the upper roots. Meaning is in the upper worlds. Shirak B'china HaTachtoine Shel Eim HaBonim. Now this is a very Kabbalistic terminology. It means there's a higher world which is called Eim HaBonim. It's called Eim HaBonim because in the same way that a mother is the source of nourishment to her child, so too there is that upper, that higher world which gives all the spiritual nourishment to the worlds below it. So that higher upper world is called Eim HaBonim. It's called the mother of her children, that higher upper world. She supplies the nourishment to the lower world. But that higher world, again, which is on the level of neshama, is only above, but not connected. Because just like neshama is not within man, because it's too high spiritually charged, and therefore it cannot be contained within the human body, it's also the upper world, called Eim HaBonim, as he points out, only the Bechina Tachtoine, which means to say is, that only the lower part, so to speak, only the lower part of that upper world, he says, which is Soid Nishmat Chayim Miloah, that corresponds to Neshama in the upper world. There's Neshama in the lower world, and there's Neshama in the upper world. There's a world that's called Neshama. And this is referred to as Eim HaBonim, the mother of her children. So he nechneses. So you have the lower portion of that, Eim HaBonim, the lower portion, or like the sparks of it, which is Nechneses, which enters Umispashetes, Bipnimius, or Adam Elyon. The upper worlds are considered to be also man. Upper man, lower man. The upper worlds are as if we have lower man, this is down here, physical man, and there's upper. The upper world is considered to be Adam HaElyon, the upper man. So we have the corresponding, whatever is down here in this world, we have the same corresponding formulation, but in worlds, in the upper world, which is considered to be like a composite of the upper man, the Adam HaElyon. And therefore, what happens down here is similar to the upper world. But we go down, Rabbi Yisai, go to Daf Nun Hei, in the Nefesh HaChaim, Ubezei Yuvan, which is, I believe, in your editions, is on the top, atop the page. Because basically what he's saying now is that only the lower part of the Eim HaBonim enters that world. Because the main part remains way above, and it only gives off light from a distance. That's basically what Reb Chaim says in the next few paragraphs. But now we move on. Ubezei Yuvan. Now we'll see something very interesting, how we relate what Reb Chaim is trying to tell us over here with this. He says the following like this. This will help us understand Kavanos HaMazal B'Shemois Rabba. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner, he brings down a Medrash. The Medrash is Parsha Mem Aleph. On the Posik says, it's the Posik in Mishlei. It says, Ki Hashem Yitain Chochma, the Rabbein Shloilem is the one who grants wisdom, Mipiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants wisdom from his mouth. In other words, well, it goes this way. Ki Hashem Yitain Chochma, Mipiv Das Utfuna. And from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So the Medrash goes on to explain this. It says very interesting that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So the Medrash goes on, gives us a moshel, a parable, the way we can understand that. And the Medrash says as follows. Shomru, lo ma'adove doimen. Says the Medrash comments that this can be compared to Melech Shoyloi Ben. Let's imagine we have a Melech, we have a king who had a son. Now you realize, Chazal gave a moshel, Reb Chaim is going to show that every aspect of that moshel has a meaning. The moshel is, the son came. Now, he could have come from anywhere. No, he didn't come from anywhere. He's coming Beis HaSefer. He's coming from Yeshiva. So the son of the Melech is coming to Beis HaSefer. He's coming from Yeshiva. And what does he find? So he finds food on a plate prepared for him. In other words, Motza Tamchui Litneyobi. He comes home and he finds that on the table, he knows on the table that a dish was prepared from his father. They find that there's a dish that was prepared. Well, the dish actually was prepared for the father. But the father sees that the son came home. So what does the father do? He wants to share with his son. What does the father do? Says, Medrash, Notal Oviv Chaticha Achas. So the father goes ahead from the plate, from the tamchui, from the plate that was prepared before him. So the father goes, and he takes one piece, takes a portion, but also like gives it to his son. Listen to the reaction of the son. Look what the Medrash says. Omar Loi, says the son to the father. He says, "Eini mevakesh ela memashe betoich picho." Imagine such a thing. The son is so close to his father and says, "This tate, I don't want from the plate. I want to chew what you're chewing. I want a chelik that's in your mouth." Imagine such a kind of a closeness. We're not even used to that kind of closeness. It's not a common thing to do, to take food out of a parent's mouth, no matter how close you are. But the marriage gives that kind of emotion. Imagine such a thing. Son is coming home. The father has food on the plate. Father's giving some of the food to the plate, and the son says, no, that's not enough for me. What I want is, I want to be so close to you. I feel so close to you. I want you to give me some of the food that you have in your mouth. I want to be chewing the exact same food. Says Reb Chaim, he says, you know what the Medrash is telling us? The Medrash is telling us that's our relationship really to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the ability that we have, how close we are able to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hainu, says Reb Chaim. Do you know what the depth of that moshel is? To understand the oimik of that moshel, the Medrash is telling us as follows. The son's request, what is the nimshal? We have the moshel and nimshal. Hayini says, Shabakoshes HaBen Yakir. It means that the request of the son exemplifies Lahatzik Sheyushpa Boi Minitzutze Oir Bechines HaNishoma. The son has a desire. He wants to partake of the sparks. Remember we said that the Neshama gives up sparks of Kedusha. That's the highest level of Kedusha. The son requests to enjoy as much as the sparks of the Neshama. He wants to enjoy the sparks of the light of the Neshama. Why? Because the sparks of the light of the Neshama, let's remember, is hidden where? In the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Neshama, Losh Neshima. Let's not forget. Neshama is called Losh Neshima. Not our breath. It's the actual breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Neshama is really a chelik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's breath. And when we enjoy, as we said, the sparks of that Neshama means we are enjoying sparks that come out of the hidden area that's hidden, the breath of Hashem's mouth. And that's what the Son wants. The Son says, I want to enjoy a little bit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Give me some of the sparks, which basically are hidden in your mouth. That is the meaning of sparks of the Neshama. How do you achieve that? How do you become worthy of that? You want it. Very nice. Sure you want it. But how do you deserve it? And let's just, before we get to that, he says that just one, just a few more words. He says, the Son, that's the Moshe with the Nimshol. He doesn't want from the plate. What he wants is directly a piece of food from the Father's mouth. We want to enjoy sparks of the Neshama from that high level called Neshama, Neshima, Neshama, which is hidden, those sparks that come out of the breath that's hidden on Hashem's mouth. Achim Mikoyro, where the source is Neloma, where the source of those sparks are hidden in the breath, the Neshima, Tivyas, Barak Shemai. That's what we want. Now you realize, the Son in the Moshe, before he makes his request, where's he coming from? He's coming from Beis HaSefer, from learning Torah. Chaim says, that's a crucial part. That's a crucial part of the Moshe. If we want to have the ability or the privilege to be able to enjoy some of the sparks that the Neshama gives off, which those sparks are basically coming out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth, because Neshama is Neshima, the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, we also have to come from the Beis HaSefer. We have to come from the Beis HaSefer. It is after we have committed ourselves, exercise of Torah study. He says, "V'romzu oiz v'lishoinam HaKadosh." Chazal v'meramez, Chazal clearly, pointedly. That's why in the Moshul that the Medrash gives us, Chazal used the Lashon advisedly. It's not just plain words or just using any variable. He says, "Chazal v'meramez." They pointedly say that the Son was coming from where? Shem Shilu Letinoik Habom Beis HaSefer Davke. Because otherwise, why do I care where he came from? The Son came from somewhere. No, not from anywhere. He's coming from the Beis HaSefer. And that's why he has the request. He has the ability to make a request. Father, give me some of the food from your mouth, which comes to represent. If we want to be able to come so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to enjoy the sparks of the Neshama, which comes directly out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth, we also have to come from the Beis HaSefer, he says. Hoidioi Nemono, the Medrash is telling us, Nemono means the Medrash is telling us very clear. The Medrash is indicating very clear, She'ein Maboy Boilom, look at what Chaim is saying, there's no other possibility. Don't think that there is a shortcut. She'ein Maboy Boilom Lahatzik B'chinat Nitzutza Oyer HaNeshama, Im Loi Al Yedeihu Eisik V'hu Iyun Tizboinit B'Toyer HaKadosh. Without Torah, you'll never get that. Without Torah, you will not be able to reach a level, to reach a target, to be worthy, to enjoy the Hashpoa, to enjoy all of the tremendous forces of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's breath, the sparks that come out and emanate from the Neshama, to be able to reach that. There's no other way, he says. You have to come from the Beis HaSefer. And you notice, it's not just plain, he says, learning Torah. It's Iyun. Is with concentration, really putting your mind, putting your being into it. Iyun the Hizboinan is B'Torah HaKadosh. That is the way. You have to exert yourself. You have to exert yourself to probe the Torah. When you are exerting yourself in probing the Torah, then you are able to attain sparks of the Neshama. If you want to attain and acquire sparks of the Neshama, then you have to probe into the Iyun HaTorah. Not only that, he says, B'kedusha. It's not enough to learn Torah. Your behavior has to match your learning. Many people learn a lot of Torah, but they learn it like a study, like any other study. No. That's not learning Torah. Torah is connected with the behavior. The person does not behave in a Torah way. His learning of Torah is not learning Torah. You're learning knowledge. You're learning knowledge that happens to be words of Torah, but that's not called learning Torah. That's called learning Torah. Learning Torah means that you behave in the way the Torah wants you to behave. Insists that you behave. You have to behave in a oitn of kedusha. If a person has holy behavior, then he's able to have the schus to understand the Torah, which is also Torah HaKadosha. Torah is kedusha, you also have to be a kodesh. You have to be a kodesh. Kedushim to you. And Reb Chaim makes that point. So on top of Eisik Bo'ian, probing Torah, learning Torah, delving in the Torah, exerting oneself in learning Torah, But he said that it had to be b'kedusha. You have to learn Torah b'kedusha in a holy way. Ki shneyem imkoyer echad boim. Because why? Because the sparks of the neshama and the Torah both emanate from the same source. That's why you need Torah. Because the sparks of the Torah and the neshama both come from the same place. Torah comes from the same high level, and the sparks of the neshama come. You all come from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chaim says it many times later as we get into further prokim. When you're learning Torah, he says, when you learn Torah, you actually, this is like a meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're sitting and learning Torah, you're not learning Torah alone. You're learning actually the chavrusa with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the Torah is actually, that's a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you are connecting with Hashem. So whenever you're learning Torah, you are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can you be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if your whole body is the opposite, is a stira, is a contradiction? It has to match. Or else you have opposite forces. Like magnets going in opposite directions. You're going to reject each other. Torah is going to reject a person who is not a vehicle, does not allow Torah really to feel comfortable in that container. You have to make yourself a proper kli to be able to accept and to receive Torah. Both the sparks of the neshama and the Torah both emanate from the same source. If you want to enjoy sparks of the neshama, which is the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Torah. It has to come from the Beis HaSefer. You have to be connected from Torah. And again, what's interesting to point out, thing that Reb Chaim mentioned that every aspect, the detail of the moshul is something which is very pointedly. It's not just haphazardly just throwing in there, but everything comes really to make a point that we learn something from. You notice that the moshul is, as he says, that a son comes home from Beis HaSefer, and in fact he finds that there's a tamku, there's a plate of food in front of his father, right? And the father gives him food. And the father gives him the food. And Reb Chaim says that this is all the remez is, that we want, and the Father is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we want to become connected to our Father, we want to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is through Torah. That is through Torah. So the food there is really Torah. The food in the Moshul is really referring to Torah. And we want the Torah that comes directly out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth. That's the kind of Torah that we want. We want Torah that comes out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth. The sparks of the Neshama comes out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth. The Torah comes out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth. But the point is, the Moshul is the Father is giving the Son. You know what it means? It means that even after you toil in Torah, the Hatzlocha, at the end of the day, the success is because the Hatzlocha, at the end result, gives it to you. It's not a direct consequence of your doing. In other words, the person thinks, you know, you take a shovel, you dig a hole. So I made the hole. They say to themselves, I studied 5 hours, I learned Torah, now I understand it. The understanding of Torah is because you studied 5 hours, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the Havonah. Torah is something that's granted in Hashemayim. It's like the Moshul with the Tamchui. Like the Moshul. The Father is giving the food from the Tamchui. He's giving the food to the Son. Right? Reb Chaim says, you have to do Iyun the Torah, but at the end of the day, who's giving it to you? The Father is giving it to you. It's the Father who's taking the food out of his mouth. The extreme part. It's a tremendous achievement already. But it's the Father who's doing the giving. After all of your Asik the Torah, the way that you have success from Torah is that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives it to you. And that is what the Goyin says. The Goyin says this, and others say it later. After some quoted from the Goyin, some don't quote it in the Goyin, it's brought down the Sefer Divrei Eliyahu, b'shem the Goyin. But others, Beis Halevi also says it. It says, Yogati umetzosi, the Gemara says, Tanin. Masda Megillah, if a person toils in Torah, he toils, he sweats, right? And he learns, the Iyun. He puts his full mind concentration. At the end of the day, Yogati umetzosi, you're going to achieve. But metzosi means you find. Yogati means if you toil, matzos, you find. What do you mean you find? A metziah, when you find something, it's not through your gear. What's finding me? Finding means I walk on the street, and there's a watch. I found it. You ever see someone says, I'm going down the street, maybe I'll find something. That's the usual thing. A person's going to walk all day, 6 hours a day, maybe I'll find something. That's not the usual thing. Finding is something that comes behesach hadas, spontaneous. All of a sudden, I find something. Your gear is something that is the result of your effort. So yegia and metziah seem to be two opposites, because yegia means effort, metziah means finding something. Finding comes without any effort. By Torah, both are true. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says like this, you toil, and when you toil, I will give it to you as if it's a metziah. Many, many times people learn something. It's a very, very common situation, and it's a fact. A person has difficulty in a particular area. So he's going to study it for 2-3 days. You know what? He still didn't understand it. all of a sudden wakes up next morning, I got it, a flash bulb. Now what happened? How come you knew it? You toiled for 3 days, you didn't understand it. The next morning, all of a sudden, it comes to you. It came to you as a gift from Hashem because you toiled for 3 days. So after the year, it turned out to be a Metziah. After the Yogati, after you toiled, you put in the effort, now Hashem gives it to you. And the marshal is, the father gives it from the plate, from the tamchuk, he's giving it to the son. So after all the toil that we do in Torah, at the end of the day, this is Siyata Dishamaya. This is clearly in a Shemaya, a person that has the schus that he is zoiche in order to have Torah. We'll see more about that, in terms of the chiyuv of a person putting in the effort into learning Torah. So now we go further, v'zehu sha'amru sham. Okay, let's go further now. V'zehu sha'amru sham. Says Reb Chaim further, that in fact, this is what has been said. Chazal tell us that Bishah, this is also the underlying idea. Reb Chaim is telling us that this is also the underlying idea, that it was said that Bishah sha'amru Yisrael ha-Sinai, that when Yidden stood, when they were assembled at the foot of Ha-Sinai, L'kabbalas HaTorah, we find, Hoyim Mevakshim L'shmoya HaDibrois M'pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We find that they wished, right, they asked that they should hear the commandments from the mouth of Hashem Himself, as is implied in Shir HaShirim. It says, Yishokeini Minshikoi Spiu. It means, let him give me from the kisses of his mouth. What does it mean, let him give me from the kisses of his mouth? It means we want to be able to hear the Dibros from Hashem Himself. That's what they first said. But on what basis? On what basis would they be worthy to hear the Dibros directly from Hashem? Shebe'ez ha'maymed ha'mekudish. Because standing at Har Sinai, it was on such a lofty level, Zochu kulam, they all at that time were privileged, shoye choyfeif u'meir aleim ziv, at that time they were standing in our Sinai, all of Klal Yisrael had the schus to have hovering over them, shining on them, the sparks of the neshama that comes from Hashem's mouth. They had that schus. They had that schus. That schus standing in our Sinai, that was probably the most unique opportunity to be able to enjoy the direct sparks coming from the neshama, meaning the direct sparks coming directly from Hashem's mouth. And that is the meaning, says Reb Chaim, who said haksorim. That, in fact, is alluded to when the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Peches, tells us that at Har Sinai, the Malachim, you might remember, the Gemara says, when Yidden said Nasa v'nishma, so the Malachim came, right, the Malachim came and gave each Yid 2 crowns. One connected Nasa, and one connected Nishma. So what does it mean? Physical crowns on the head? What are they going to have with crowns? What are they going to do for them? The crown is what's above the head. It means that they had the privilege to understand things which the normal mind would not be able to understand. They enjoyed the relationship with the sparks of the neshama, as we said, that's usually hovering over the head. The crowns were the sparks of neshama that is so hard to be able to acquire, so hard to attain, but then at Sinai, they were able to have it. They had the schut to have it. That is meant by ksorim. For usayid haksorim, that's the secret of the crowns. Shezochu b'Sinai, as it says, v'simchas oylam al roisham. The simchas oylam al roisham is referring to the tremendous privilege of enjoying sparks of kedusha coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth. Once you have sparks of kedusha, if sparks of holiness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth, you now have a mind that's ready to receive all the mysteries of Torah. By deikach, being that they enjoy the sparks, right, the radiance, divine radiance from the spiritual crowns, are they karzochul lahasig? Thereby, they had the privilege to discern. They had the privilege to discern sisrei pnimiyos nishmas haktorah hakdoshah. They had the privilege, and that enabled them to be able to fathom the inner mysteries of the Torah. So really, it works. It's a chain. You have to toil in Torah, which is the Torah sanigla, which is the outer portion of Torah. You have to toil. A person, as Reb Chaim said, if he learns Torah be'iyun, with his vitamins, you probe Torah. You give into Torah. You delve. So you give of yourself into Torah. That will allow you to enjoy the sparks of neshama coming from Kodesh Baruch Hu's mouth. And when you enjoy the sparks of neshama, then you enjoy more Torah. Now you are able to receive deeper Torah. That is the Sisra Torah, the hidden portion of Torah, the mysteries of Torah. So you have to apply yourself to the Chelek HaTorah that is accessible to you at first, which is the Chelik HaNegila, which is the revealed portion of Torah. That makes the link. That makes the link to enjoy the sparks of the Neshama. When you make the link enjoying the sparks of the Neshama, so now this gives you the ability to enjoy even further. That is now the Chelik of Sitzrei HaTorah. And so it goes in a circle back and forth. You learn Torah. The more Torah you learn, you're connected more to the sparks of the Neshama. The more you connect to the sparks of the Neshama, you have access to the Sisrei Pnimius HaTorah Kedosha. This is the Mahalach HaOdom. This is the Derech as we go through to the Avodas Odom. So I would like to go, Rabbi Yisrael, let's take a look a little bit on the sheet and see the contribution that we have. Let's take a little bit of the contribution that we have here. First, we take a look, as Reb Chaim says, we have here from the Sefer Bochar to Bochaim, which is a Sefer on Nefesh Chaim, and it brings down something very interesting. This is the first item that we have. You have to realize how much the Goyin put in Koyach in learning Torah. The Rebbe of Reb Chaim, Chaim Volozhin. You have no idea. The Goyin with his genius mind, how much effort and how much Mesiras Nefesh. Forget about not wasting a moment, but all of his being, his complete being, it is said to such extreme that a sister of the Goyim, who he didn't see for a long, long time, who came to visit him, he say, very short few minutes of pleasantries, and then go back to his learning. That was the Goyim. We are not Mad Madreig, of course, but that was the Goyim. Every moment of his life, he understood what it means, and learning Torah with the depth of the Goyim, of course. So, yeah, let's take a look a little bit that Reb Chaim Volozhin himself writes in the Hagdoma, Yesh Letzayin Bozeh, Divrei Rabbeinu, that's Reb Chaim Volozhin, the Hagdoma L'Sefer Safra D'Tzniusa, Safra D'Tzniusa is the Sefer on Kabbalah. So he writes there, Reb Chaim Volozhin writes in the Hagdoma, Al Raboy Hagroz Atzal, V'Zeh L'Shoiner. Listen to the words of Reb Chaim Volozhin on his Rebbe, the Vilna Goyim. V'Hoyla HaKulam, after all is said and done, he describes prior to that the greatness of the Goyim in every area. But after everything is said and done, the bottom line, if you want to define the true essence and greatness of the Goyin, he says, V'oila ha'kulam, hein guburoysov v'noyroysov, the gibur of the Goyin, and the awesomeness of the Goyin, kiloy heros napshi toiv rak ba'amoloy asher omal b'chochmo b'dat u'bikishrin. The Goyin did not consider himself fulfilled in any way, only through his toil in all areas of wisdom and knowledge. And after all of his efforts, because Shemayim, and Shemayim already had pity on him. What do you mean they had pity on him? His galuloi, so Shemayim, all of a sudden they showered the Goyim with all the secrets, the hidden portions of Torah, like what Chaim Volozhin says in Nefesh HaChaim. Then his galuloi, mayonis hachochma, all the wellsprings of wisdom became open to the Goyim. Reish Dalet Reish is Rosen de Rosen, which means secrets of secrets, which is double secrets. There are things that are hidden, and things that are even more hidden. That's called Rosen de Rosen. The hidden of the hidden. The Sitzrin de Sitzrin. Right? And the concealed of the concealed. Zuhoye Etzle Matas Alekim. This is Matan Meshumayim, due to his tremendous Yigiyas HaTorah. The Zula is there, but besides that, Nafshel Erotzebom. In other words, the Goyim didn't want any knowledge, he said. The Goyim didn't want any knowledge that came without yigi, without work, without toil. He did not want any knowledge. He points out, Afkirotsu limsiloi min ha-shemayim, beloishum omol v'yigi az vosa rozen v'sisr nel yoyin mol yoyin aydei magidim. What he tells us over here is that, in fact, that in ha-shemayim, they're going to have the ability to have a magid, to have a malach come and to teach him all aspects of Torah. The Goyim refused it. We know that the Beis Yosef wrote a sefer called, there's a sefer called Magid Meisharim, but Reb Yosef recorded. Reb Yosef recorded there the Divrei Torah that he heard from a Magid, which a Malach Min HaShemayim, that taught him Sisrei HaTorah. The Goyim refused the Magid. So the Goyim says, anything that I attain without my own personal effort, that's not the kind of Torah I want. I want Torah that's a result of my effort, of my idea. To have the Magid come and start telling me and giving me information just like that, wholesale, he doesn't want wholesale Chochmah. Doesn't want it. He says, see what he says here? He had the ability to have received the masters of secrecy, the Sarei HaTorah, masters of Torah. He said, he was merachikik. He distanced himself from it. And he says further, this is Rav Chaim talking further. And Rav Chaim Lozhin says, Kishomati mipiv HaKodesh. Listen to what he says. He says, I heard it directly from his mouth. I heard from the Goyim's holy mouth. Shepomim raboy tishkimu lepischoi kamo magidim in Hashemayim. Not once. Many times he was approached. Many magidim came and Hashemayim came. They are ready to give over to him. Without any toil. Because that's a great man. But maybe now you deserve, we should give you everything. We want to give you everything. You don't have to work for it. And he ignored it. The goyim ignored him. The echot min hamagidim hitzer boy miyoyit. And it was one of the magidim that really pressured him. Pressured him very much. Im koze, in spite of all that, lo hibit el mareyu hagodol. He did not even view the great, of course, the great vision that was in front of him. The ono of the omaloi. And the goyim said to the magid, eini roitze shitihye hatzagosi b'toyroso yizborach shumay adeshum em soy klavakal. I don't want any intermediary. I don't need a magid to tell me anything. Like Einai Nisuit for Yisborach Shemoi, I'm directly, my eyes are focused on Kodesh Baruch Hu, I will work for it, and Kodesh Baruch Hu will put it into my mind. Will put the wisdom into my mind. Macheroitza legalously, whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to reveal to me, Velitz Nechelki b'toyrosa Yisborach Shemoi ba'amoli ashomalti b'chol koichi, that I toiled with all my koich, with all my power, who Yisborach Shemoi yitnli, only him, only Kodesh Baruch Hu will be the one who gives me chokhmah on the piz, to open my heart, my kidneys, that's an expression, my two kidneys will be like two wellsprings of wisdom. He says, the Eda, and I will know, I know that I found favor in the eyes of Hashem, by Hashem, after my Yigir, giving me all this knowledge. But then he writes, El Mamashi B'toich Piz, here again, I want from a Kodesh Baruch Hu's mouth directly. Not from a Magid. A Magid is already a cliche. I want from a clearition. I want from the first clear, he says. So this is exactly what we see over here. And Nefesh HaChaim says, if you want to be zeicher to sparks of neshama, neshama means from the breath of Hashem, if you want to be zeicher to Torah, from the breath of Hashem, you have to have the iyun, you have to have the esek haTorah, you have to toil in Torah, you have to probe in Torah. And the more that you invest in Torah, you'll be certainly connected to Hashem, and then you will have that extra knowledge directly coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. That's an amazing thing. So I just want to show you, look at number two, the next item, and here's a quote from Reb Chaim Volozhin again. First of all, this is a sefer called Chaim Sheish Bohem, and he writes as follows. He writes, Im Ratzoin Cholodat, if you want to know, Ad Heichon Higiyo Madregis Omal HaTorah Shel Hagoyin Rabbeinu Leon Mevilna Zatzal, if you want to have a little idea, to what extent the tremendous toil and effort of the Vilna Goyim, Leich Norei, go and look at Masha, maybe Talmidoi HaGoyim Rav Chaim of Elojah Zatzal, the Hagdom Elabir HaGro, in the introduction to the Sefer, Al Safra Ditzne Yusa, the Zelishoiner. Now, we quoted also from that Sefer, but this is another Chelik, another part, a different paragraph. Look what he says. Kama Yigioi, says Rav Chaim, Yoga Zeho Odom HaGodol Banokim. He was a giant. A giant. You have an idea how much your gear is, how much effort, how much power. You would not believe it if I would tell you. Until he found things clear to his satisfaction. He would put in so much effort, he says, and you're talking about a genius of geniuses, you're talking about. He had so much intelligence, such breadth of knowledge, and such depth, Hamaleya Das, filled with knowledge, Mikama Dairu Shalafonov. He knows he was greater than many, many generations before him. In Kozlois, in spite of all of his natural intelligence, Lesomach Liboy Hator Bezeh, did not rely on that. His pure heart did not rely on that. Arashishokloi Bemozne Sichloi. He really waited over and over again, all bits and pieces of information. He waited again and waited again on a scale. Kama Meyois Baomen Biyagia Noiroi. Look what he says. The guy would not eat and drink many days and nights until he felt that he was clear in an area of Torah. He would withhold sleep from his eyes. You look at his face, you would see. You'd be able to see on his face that this man hadn't eaten, hadn't slept. Until Hashem enlightened his eyes. Lovoy at Kitseitz of Anosei, to understand to the fullest ability that it's capable of understanding. And Ukarega, and then when that hit, when he had that light bulb, you could see immediately, a change in his complexion. All of a sudden, you see the simcha on his face. You could see the happiness that he understands that particular area to his satisfaction. Ukarega koran or ponovator. And in one instant, as soon as he was able to fathom, when he was able to understand that which he toiled for, in one moment, in one instant, he says, we have the radiance of his pure face shining. Mechazit is from simcha, when you hear the raisa, the radiance of simcha coming from the understanding and the understanding of Torah. So there's no end to toiling in Torah, there's no end of putting oneself into Torah, and to how far one should go in terms of understanding Torah. And of course, you have people like the Goyim, they have a little bit of an idea. But I want to show you, many, many years ago, I believe this was in the 60s, and there was a very famous Magid who is not alive anymore. We had him here in the Beis Medrash also, many, many years ago, the Shapsi Levish. The famous Magid, and he's a very, very talented Magid. People know Shom Shadron, like Shom Shadron, we know. But Shom Shadron was not the only one. Shabbos Yudlevich was a very popular Magid in Yerushalayim. As a matter of fact, on one Friday night, when he was here in Queens for Shabbos, actually he spoke here Friday night. But I remember him in the 60s. And an interesting thing is, he not only, when he repeated the Medrash, a Magid knows how to tell a story. That's one of the koyach of a Magid. So when he would repeat a story of a Medrash, he not only repeated the story, he would act out every chalik. In other words, this one said this, and he would act it out. This. So you'd actually visualize exactly what's taking place. As if it's taking place live now on stage. And remember, at that time, he said over this medrash that we have here, number 3 on top, the medrash that Rebel Yoel Apian brings, and take a look at this medrash, look at this maise, and look how Rebel Yoel Apian explains the maise. Let's take a look at it. It's a fascinating thing. It's in Rebel Yoel and Parshas Vayetze. He brings down a medrash in Shemoyis Parshas Pekudei. Listen to this medrash. Ma'aseh Reb Shimon ben Chalafte. Shimon ben Chalafte was a great Tana. One of the great Tanoim. Shimon ben Chalafte was very, very poor. Extremely poor. And the medrash tells us that Ma'aseh Reb Shimon ben Chalafte, Shebo Erev Shabbos V'loi Hoi Eloi Me'ayim Lehis Parnes. Erev Shabbos came and he had no parnos, he didn't have with what to make Shabbos. There was nothing. He didn't have what to make Shabbos. What does a Talmud like Shimon ben Chalafte do? He goes outside of town. He's palalit nelekim. He goes and says, "Rabbanu Shlomo, I need money." Know what happened? He nicholoi even v'nitnoloi even toivim in the shemayim. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a precious jewel appears from heaven. He granted it. Then he's palal. Here it is. Here. What does he do? All of the shulchani. So now he goes to a banker, Umashkin is Evan, to pawn it. And he pawns the Evan, Hatoivo, and then he gets the money for it. Upirna Soysa Shabbos. And now he was able to supply for Shabbos. Hainu, which means Shekona Mozoin, Umichyo. He used the Evan Toivo that he got in the Shemayim. He pawned it, actually. And he used that money in order to be able to buy for Shabbos. Lekov the Shabbos. Om lo yishtoi mehechim akasta koze. I remember the way Shabbos Yilodi says this. His wife comes home. All of a sudden, there's a fridge there in the house. All of a sudden, there's air conditioning in the house. And she goes over and says, "Shimon, where did you get the money from?" Shimon Chalafte was his name. So says, "Shimon, where did you get the money from?" So he says, "Omer lo yishto nehechel lekasta calls it." So where did you get the money from? Where did you take this from? Omer lo. So Shimon Chalafte said, "The boy in Shlom, he sent it down from heaven." Ma'ashepirna seisona kodi baruchu. But he didn't say how. The boy in Shlom sent it to me. Omer lo, so the wife was very suspicious here. Where all of a sudden you're coming to so much money? Omer lo, so she said, Ishtoi, so she said, Imein ato oimeli mehechem lakachto. If you don't tell me where you got it, any tiyam is chum. I don't need anything. I don't need anything. You might as well have said nothing. It's waste. I have to know where you got it from. Tipe lo kol ha-maise. He told her the maise. What was the maise? That he went chutz l'ir. He was mispalo. And the boishim sent him down a precious stone in a shemayim. So she says, I still won't need anything. Now even more. That's even worse than I thought, she said. She says, Shuv any tayyam is klum. He says, I will not be tayyam anything. Achitavtichani, until you promise me that after Shabbos, you return the stone back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That after Shabbos, he says, Tazir seven atoivis. Omalosu, Shimon says, Loma. He says, why? They gave it to me. They gave it to me. I was in the spell, they gave me the stone. Omaloi, so she said to him, V'chiyata roitse. Do you agree? Would you want Shehei shulchan chol oilam habo choser v'shulchan chaver chomol. In other words, there's no free ride. What you got now is some of your reward from oilam habo. So when the time is going to come, when you go up to Shemayim in oilam habo, your friends are going to have a table with four legs. Your table maybe only have three legs. Maybe only have two legs. Their table will be full, your table will be lacking, because you got some of your schar in this world. Is that what you want? What you're doing is you're giving away from the next world to use on this world. Is that what you want? She said to him. Oh, he hears. He hears. Holach Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon goes, before he goes, and he says, Vahidiyah ha-maisa l'Rebbe. And he goes and tells the maisa to Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKodesh. Rabbeinu HaKodesh, the greatest Tana of all time. Shimon Chalapta goes and he takes counsel. He's going to discuss it with Rebbe. Omar lo yisa, Rebbe says to him, Lech ve'emor lo. Now listen to this, it's an amazing story. So Rebbe wanted Reb Shimon Chalapta to have something. So Rebbe says, go and answer your wife. Whatever's going to be lacking in the future world, I'll give some of my chelik. I'll give up some of my portion for you. So nothing will be missing. First of all, you see a sacrifice that Rebbe's doing. Rebbe's giving up a chelik of his oilam habo to Reb Shimon ben Chalapta. So you should be able to enjoy now at least have something. So go to tell your wife. She's worried that you're going to be losing out in the future world. Says Rebbe, tell your wife that I'm going to be mamalit. I'm going to replace it. If anything will be lacking, I'll give a chelik of mine. Tell your wife, Lech v'moyla im yeh shulchon chochoser, if it turns out that your table will be missing in the next world, ami amaleno mishali. Holach v'omala came, so he goes and tells the wife, she was a smart woman, this word. So omala aloi, so she says, Lech imi, says, come to me, he says. She says to Shechafa, let's go together. Like him and his big ideas, and she says, Rebbe, he's going to supply what's lacking for you, yeah? Come with me to the one who is teaching you Torah. Amr aloi. So she says to Rebbe, now she speaks up. What do you mean? You think you're going to see him in Olam Haba? Every tzaddik has his own little room, his own cubicle. What does it mean? What did she answer? Rebbe says like this. If for some reason something's going to be missing, I'll supply it. So she says, every tzaddik has their own room. No. So if something turns out that you're liking, I'm ready to give up. What was the answer? What was her rejection of Rebbe's offer? And Rebbe Apian says here an incredible word. Take a look. If Rebbe Apian would say, listen to this. This is such a Musa Haskell. The Yesh Lohovim, we have to understand. Ma tshuva heishiva hatit konis hadois. That she was able to dominate the discussion, that she won the debate, that she was able to win the debate to be victorious as Rabbi Reb Shimon. Ba'birhu says Rabbi Yepran like this. B'shom Chazal, Chazal says in Sech Tesovis, Letfum Tzara Agra, the schar, the reward in Olam Haba is according to the pain that you have to go through in order to be able to do a particular mitzvah. In other words, two people can put on tzilin. Two people. But if it's more challenge to you, the more challenge in the mitzvah, the reward is all that much greater. Which means you cannot measure a mitzvah just mitzvah for mitzvah. What is also computed, what's computed in the chelik of the mitzvah in terms of the reward of the mitzvah is, what did you give up? The more you gave up for a mitzvah, the greater the reward for doing that mitzvah. The fum tzara, according to the measure of tzara, agra is the reward. And again, he gave a muscle also in yeshiva, by the way. You know, you have in yeshiva someone with average intelligence. It takes him to learn 2 hours to understand something. And if somebody with a quick mind, he grasps it in a half an hour. Who do you think is going to get more reward? Not the one who's able to learn it in a half hour. The one who actually, with the weaker intelligence, right? The one who actually had to put in more time and effort, even though the end results, they both arrived at the same. They both understand it equally. He understood it in a half an hour. He needed 2 hours of time. The one who put in 2 hours of time is going to get much more reward, even though he doesn't understand it better than the other guy. The other guy did it in a half an hour. You needed 2 hours. So you needed 2 hours. The fact that you put in 2 hours, there's some person who is tremendously a balkishrin, ubemeshir beishoyes. He says, loy medav gemara betuv. And he's able to learn a dav gemara betuv. The echad yesh le kishrin poshit. And then there's someone who has average intelligence. Baltav gemara hazois, who omel kol ayoy. He has to learn all day. The type is that because, and even after that, it's very difficult for him to grasp the material. So here you have a person who has quick intelligence. In 2 hours, he's able to finish the block. You have someone who needs the whole day and such difficulty to grasp it. Schara mishtalim lefunzara. The schar is paid according to the tzar. Kloimer. Haschar lefihua melus. According to the toil. Why? Brains are kishbohu gain. You're not credited for that. If you have tremendous IQ, you have super intelligence, you don't get reward for that. That is what we gave you. What you give Hashem is the effort and the time and the toil that you put in. You have to use your intelligence to the end of your ability, he says. That is the ikar. So go to the next paragraph. Now listen to this. Listen to the punchline. Rabbi said, you realize that Rabbeinu HaKadosh was a Gevir, was an Usher, was a wealthy man. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Ma'olam, the Gemara says, Le'potak Mishulchonoi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh was an Usher. Rabbeinu HaKadosh learned Torah, you can imagine, but he learned Torah's Mitoch Hashiris. He learned Torah with having his life in a situation where you don't have to worry where your next meal is coming from. Reb Shimon ben Chalapta learned Torah with Toich Hatzchak. He learned Torah with great, great pain, with great challenge. He learned Torah with difficulty, having to sacrifice. You know what her answer was? Rabbeinu HaKadosh is saying to Reb Shimon Chalapta, any Olam Haba that's missing to you, I'll make it up. He can't make it up because he doesn't have it. Reb Shimon Chalapta's Olam Haba is greater. Rebbe doesn't have the resources. Rebbe's Olam Haba, which was Torah, Mitoich Hashiris, is not the same Olam Haba as Reb Shimon Chalapta. You don't have the currency to make it up. You're saying, if anything is lacking, I'm going to make it up. You don't have it. You don't have the resources. But the Gamsa Godless, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, but he doesn't have the schus of Torah Mitoich Hatzchak, learning Torah with pain. Lefum Tzara Agra. So Rebbe's Olam Haba is not equal Olam Haba to Reb Shimon Chalapta. So that's what she was saying. The wife of Reb Shimon Chalapta was saying, he's telling you that anything that's lacking for you, Reb Shimon, in the future world, any Olam Haba that's lacking, he'll make it up. He can't make it up. He doesn't have that kind of Olam Haba. You have a totally different kind of an Olam Haba. It's an amazing thing. The Zer Shomra, again. Hasek is the Rebbe. That's what she was saying. Ato Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Ein Ato Yochel Emalois. He says, Lonu Mishalcho. You cannot fill it. Ki Amayla Sheesh Lonu Beisik Atoyer Bitzah Raboin. We have to start. Maile Zueilucho. Ki Rabbeinu HaKadosh Hoyu Nosi Vosher Godel. Ki Yesh Loi Oilomoi. Every person has his own Oilom Habo. You have your Oilomoi. He has his Oilomoi. According to your challenges, according to your effort, according to your sacrifice. Different levels of Oilom Habo. He says, so Mamele, Rebbe has his Madregas, Reb Shimon ben Chalapta, Yesh Le Hamayle Shaloi, Ulefum Tzara Agre. That, Rabbi said, we see the great reward of Amelus B'Teira, of Yigiyas B'Teira. And that is, Rabbi said, that is what the Goyen had. That's what the B'chaim Elohim is pointing out. With the super, super intelligence, he didn't make an advantage, he didn't have the intelligence to make it easier for himself. He used that super intelligence, that with that super intelligence, to toil. Now imagine somebody toils with super intelligence, how much you can achieve. Nothing advantageous to have an easy ride, I understand very quickly. But to use the great, great, tremendous intelligence, to use the great genius with effort, with toil, you amount to be someone who in fact is the Vilna Goyen. That is a little bit a glimpse of we see Gedolim of yesteryear and the chilik that we see even between Rabbeinu HaKadosh and Reb Shimon Chalapta gives a little idea. The Fum Tzara Agra.